Thank you, Howard Zinn, former professor of mine at Boston University. Oh, wait, I should tell you. It's Wednesday afternoon at 5, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'll be your host for this next hour of Poetry and Technology Radio. It's the 9th anniversary program for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. 9 years ago this week, I came down here frightened, feeling like an imposter, stumbling over my words. I brought way too much to read, but not enough that would share any kind of interest or enthusiasm. I sat down like some sort of exhausted NPR announcer. It was a stumbling, bumbling show. 9 years later, I feel a little bit more confident. I've had hundreds of people come down here to the studio to be interviewed. Hundreds more who have appeared on the KDVS Live Line to talk about their poetry and technology projects. So in honor of my being on the air 9 years, in the second half of the program, I will go old style. I will grab a page from my original playbook and read to you from some extensive prose with jazz in the background. We'll be hearing some Charlie Parker this afternoon. And I'll also choose a few favorite classic poems. And that's in the second half of the show, when I'll wax poetic further about what it's like to do this show over the last 9/10 of a decade. But in the first half of the show, we will hear from Shandell Beers. Shandell Beers is a poet whose fiction and poetry and creative nonfiction have appeared in numerous journals and anthologies. She also hosts a radio show, this one on the web, and she's an instructor of English at Blue Mountain Community College in Pendleton, Oregon. She's got a brand new book out called A Brief History of Time. If you want to find out more about her, you can visit Shandell Beers, Shandell Beers. I'm about to phone her and invite her to share with you some of her poetry, some of her enthusiasm for the literary arts. We'll also find out how, as a web-savvy person with more than 2,000 friends on Facebook, how it is that she's been promoting her brand-new book of poetry called A Brief History of Time. That, I'll let you know about a great reader tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night. That's Maxwell Kessler. And we'll celebrate 9 years of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program, this one. It's called Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'll be right back with Shandell Beers. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis, radiating out across the Central Valley at 9,800 watts, always available as well at kdvs.org. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and Shandel Beers is my first guest. Shandel Beers' poetry, fiction, and creative nonfiction have appeared in numerous journals and anthologies. She's an instructor of English at Blue Mountain Community College in Pendleton, Oregon, which is in eastern Oregon's high desert. And she serves as poetry editor of the journal Contrary. Her most recent book and her first full-length poetry collection, A Brief History of Time, was released by Salt Publishing in 2009. You can find out a great deal more about her, including about her many prizes, poetry prizes, and honorable mentions, and her educational background. All of that can be seen at shandelbeers.com, shandelbeers.com. Shandel Beers, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. And I was happy to encounter your work online. You've got a really well put together website with professional looking photography there, links for all the different sorts of writing that you do, and an extensive biography. And it highlights, of course, your brand new book, A Brief History of Time. You must have been very excited that you were able to set that up with Salt Publishing.
Yeah, I love being a part of Salt. I think it's sort of every writer's dream to have a publisher in the UK for some reason. I guess in the United States, we still really look back to our tradition of British literature, or at least I do. So I was really excited to end up with Salt as my publisher.
Wonderful. And tell me a little bit more about your relationship with Salt. How did you find them, or how did they find you?
It's actually sort of a weird little quirky story where before I was really active on Facebook, I was on MySpace quite a bit. And Jen, who on MySpace is Jen at Salt, would sort of post these, you know, funny or sad kind of like mommy blogs, you know, like the neighbor's cat ate the kid's guinea pig. How do I tell them, you know?
Right.
And so I would just sort of answer questions. And I think a lot of times in the United States, at least, if someone's a writer or a publisher, they sort of have this professional facade. And so I really didn't realize that, oh, she's a big deal. You know, I would just sort of write comments to her blogs. And then they said that they were interested in expanding their list and getting more poets. And so I sent an email kind of overstepping the bounds saying, oh, would you look at my manuscript? And they were really looking for more established writers or writers who had gone out of print. And it was sort of embarrassing, you know, because it was sort of like, oh, we're kind of not interested in newer writers. And I sent them this manuscript and then something that I'd been working on and actually ended up with a two-book deal. So
wow.
I guess I was really lucky that I sort of was clueless and overstepped my bounds.
Well, it might be part luck. I bet it has something to do with the quality of your poetry as well. They wouldn't take you on just because you're a nice person with good guinea pig advice.
Oh, I'm sure. I know. But it was a little embarrassing at the beginning there.
And Americans, when they're doing something awkward, I'm sure feel all the more awkward when doing it in front of British people.
Yes.
Okay. Have you run into challenges with distribution of your book here in the United States if you're working with a British publisher?
They pretty much have great distribution. They use Ingram as one of the distributors. The book's pretty much available everywhere, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. And I've had really good luck with being in Oregon, being able to just send copies to Powell's, you know, physically myself,
right,
mail them there, and have them sell them off the shelves. So I really haven't run into any glitches or anything like that along the way.
That's wonderful. Good. Good for you. Well, Shandell Beers is my guest, and she's a poet as well as a fiction author and essayist. She has a new book of poetry out called A Brief History of Time from Salt Publishing, as we've been talking about. You can find out more about her at shandellbeers.com. So as this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and as you're more kind of new media savvy than a lot of my guests, I'm wondering if you could tell listeners at home about some of the additional ways we've talked about MySpace and Facebook, but some of the additional ways that you've delved into new media or multimedia in thinking about literary projects, whether it be online or using audio or anything else that comes to mind.
Right. One of the really innovative things that Salt has their authors do is a virtual book tour where you contact maybe 10 bloggers or so and send them copies of your book so they can pre-read it and come up with questions. And then you're sort of the featured person at each blog, one week, another the next week, and so on. And some people decide to, you know, follow the entire book tour and leave comments and questions everywhere. Some people just, you know, read their particular friend's blog or whoever it is that they're following. But I just found it a really fun and sort of innovative way to get out there.
That's wonderful. And did you receive questions that were unexpected, or were you satisfied with the amount of reading and preparation that different bloggers had done who had received your book?
It was really interesting because some of the bloggers I knew really well. Like one is Chella Currington, who teaches at UC Santa Barbara, and she was a former professor of mine what seems like forever ago at Huntington College. And another was a former classmate of mine from college. And then others were just, you know, people whose blogs I thought were interesting. So it was really, you know, different perspectives from, you know, various people.
Wonderful. Good for you. Shandell Beers is my guest, and she's the author of A Brief History of Time. This is your first full-length poetry collection, Shandell, but tell me more about some of the other projects that you've worked on. How is it that you built up to having this manuscript that was ready to send off to Salt, and in fact, two manuscripts?
Well, this manuscript I worked on primarily during my MFA program at Vermont College of the Fine Arts. And it was a manuscript that, you know, of course you take out weaker poems and put in stronger poems over time. But I'd pretty much been sending this one out for like 4 years or so before I found a publisher. So it's just that sort of hard work that writers have to do. You know, you have to keep plugging away at it if it's a project you believe in. The second manuscript I'm still working on, and it's a project called The Children's War. And what I do is I look at artwork done by children during wartime. So far I'm looking at from the Spanish Civil War to modern times. And I write a poem about each piece of artwork that I feel I should write about or can write about. And so that's pretty much what the second book is going to be.
Excellent. Good for you. And will that include the visuals?
I honestly don't know. That's a question that a lot of people ask. And I'm not sure how to get the rights to different pictures or what's in the public domain. That's something that I need to look into.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that book comes out, and I hope you'll contact me when it does. We're going to take a quick break. I have to play a public service announcement. And then when we return, I'll ask my guest, Shandell Beers, to read to us one of the poems from her new book, A Brief History of Time. If you'd like to find out more about Shandell Beers, the website is shandellbeers.com. I bet she's the only Shandell Beers that you'll encounter if you were to Google Shandell Beers. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
I'd like to remind local listeners that this evening, Maxwell Kessler will be performing at Poetry Night at Bistro 33 in Davis. Maxwell Kessler is a performance poet who was born in the Idaho wilderness, performed in heavy metal rock bands, has written and acted in locally produced plays and films, and is a performance poet. He's a member of two Emerson College Slam teams and a member of the 2009 Cantab team. He was awarded the title of Champion of Champions at the Boston Poetry Slam, and last year was named Emersonian of the Year. He's a recent graduate of Emerson College. All the way from Boston, tonight at Bistro 33 at 9 o'clock, Maxwell Kessler. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and we're chatting this afternoon with Chandel Beers. She is currently an Oregon-based poet who has a book out called A Brief History of Time, which is available online at Powell's and no doubt in other places. If you'd like to get a signed copy, you could visit her website, chandelbeers.com, where you'll find instructions. So, Chandel, tell me a little bit more about your book, A Brief History of Time. Does it have some thematic coherency? Is it about a series of topics throughout? How would you characterize this book?
Well, I would say that a lot of it is largely autobiographical. I feel like a lot of poets sort of do that with their first book. So a lot of it is about growing up working class, growing up rural, and then just sort of little tangents spun off of that. A few surrealist sort of poems, but a lot of it is sort of, plain song, free verse sorts of poems. And I do have a few form poems. I have a few sestinas in the book. But I think it's, pretty much just one of those, like, honest, down-to-earth, this is who I am sort of collections.
That's great. I remember reading on your website that you were raised in Argos, Indiana, which is a town of 2,000 people. My father grew up in Winchester, Indiana, which now has a population of 5,000, but probably was much closer to 2,000 when he was your age and younger. So I heard stories about small town life in Indiana growing up. But what sort of topics, small town related topics, do you delve into? Is it mostly inside the house, or are there great fields of wheat? And tell me what sort of settings we encounter in the book.
Well, I guess a lot of it is, there are factories. There's a poem that takes place within a Dollar General.
Right.
There's a poem about stripping. So I guess that, there's a wide variety.
So something about the commerce of Argos, Indiana, then, in terms of who's the employer, where do you buy stuff, how are you entertained?
Sort of.
Okay.
I was going to say Argos is pretty small, so, it's not like there are strip clubs in Argos. But, a lot of sort of, farming, factory, those sorts of poems.
Sure. A Brief History of Time is the name of the book. You can find it in many places, including at the website of my guest, Chandel Beers. So, Chandel, what poem have you chosen to share this afternoon?
Okay, well, I was going to read a different one, but then there was the Linux users group public service announcement.
Right.
And I actually have a poem that mentions Linus Torvalds, the inventor of Linux.
Wonderful. How topical. Isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it wonderful that you had a chance to scramble and find that poem from your book while I was playing Charlie Parker? All right, great. Let's hear that one. What's the title?
It has sort of a long title. It's called What Will We Do With You? This bone has almost no flesh protecting it.
Great.
But I am like any porcelain doll, waiting to be destroyed by a hammer. Brothers do these things to incite the cries of their sisters. They think this is power. Someday they will learn that power is smiling gleefully up at the anvil. Where I am from, everyone looks like a corpse. We are ivory and blue-veined until cooled at 0 degrees for 28 to 32 minutes. Then we begin to color up. Cheeks become pink, eyes a teary blue, lips a red slash, sometimes painted crooked by a drunken artist. Because, as Linus Torvalds said, there is nothing to do at home but drink. Where I want to take you, the mountain passes are cleared in July until it snows at the end of August. And some years, Hidden Lake is always under snow, but I will climb until I find it. Though you seem to be made of sand and fashioned for warmth, I will lock you in a cabinet. Porcelain dolls are dangerous like this sometimes. You and I are not so different, the same color when the sun shines through the khaki sheets. But this sun is too much. Even the sheets can't stop it. It is scarier than the hammer. This sun, even in the morning, in February, is going to obliterate us all.
Oh, that was nice. I liked it.
Thank you.
Could you read for us the long title one more time?
Yes. It's called What Will We Do With You? This bone has almost no flesh protecting it.
Excellent. The poet is Shandell Beers, and that is a poem from her new book, A Brief History of Time. Do you already have a title for your next manuscript when Salt Publishing puts that one out?
So far, the working title is The Children's War. So as long as nothing better comes along, that's what it's going to be.
It makes sense to me with the topics that you're taking on. Well, Shandell, it's been a pleasure to speak to you about your work. I wish you continued success with all of your endeavors. And drop me a line when The Children's War comes out, because I think readers will be interested in hearing from you again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
Same here. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. In the second half of the show, we may hear from Maxwell Kessler, who is performing tonight at Bistro 33, and I will have some 9th anniversary reflections on this particular radio program here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some William Butler Yeats and the poem Sailing to Byzantium. Sailing to Byzantium by William Butler Yeats. That is no country for old men. The young in one another's arms, birds in the trees, those dying generations at their song. The salmon falls, the mackerel crowded seas, fish, flesh, or fowl, commend all summer long whatever is begotten, born, and dies. Caught in that sensual music, all neglect monuments of unaging intellect. 2. An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing, and louder sing, for every tatter in its mortal dress. Nor is there singing school, but studying monuments of its own magnificence. And therefore I have sailed the seas, and come to the holy city of Byzantium. 3. O sages standing in God's holy fire, as in the gold mosaic of a wall, come from the holy fire, pern in a gyre, and be the singing masters of my soul. Consume my heart away, sick with desire, and fastened to a dying animal it not knows what it is. And gather me into the artifice of eternity. 4. Once out of nature, I shall never take my bodily form from any natural thing, but such a form as Grecian goldsmiths make of hammered gold and gold enameling to keep a drowsy emperor awake, or set upon a golden bough to sing to lords and ladies of Byzantium of what is past, or passing, or to come. Here's another Yeats poem, even more famous, called The Second Coming. The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere, in sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it real shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by the rocking cradle. And what rough beast! Its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. Thank you. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. Rancho Cordova Grocery Outlet is proud to join the year 2010 Blood Drive. And they remind us all that the need for a safe and secure blood supply is always with us. If you are healthy and qualified, do your part and donate blood. You protect not only yourself and your family, but the community as well. So donate blood at the hospital or blood bank of your choice. Remember, the greatest gift you can give is the gift of life. This important message is a courtesy of Rancho Cordova Grocery Outlet and Rancho Cordova. They're concerned for the welfare of our community. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, here to tell you that today marks the 9th anniversary of this particular radio program. I started the planning for this show in the year 1999. Can that be? Indeed, it's true. A young, red-headed undergraduate named Sarah Oliver had taken two classes with me. One, a special class on preparing to be a graduate student in English. It was a writing class. I don't know how I got away with being assigned such an interesting and innovative writing class. It was a special section of UWP 101 for English majors who are planning to go on to graduate school. Well, Sarah Oliver was one of my star students. I think that was in 1998. And in 1999, the fall of 99, I taught a class called T.S. Eliot, An American Abroad. Had about 40 students in that class, including half a dozen students whose names I can still tell you today. Lots of all-stars there. Valerie was in that class. Charmaine was in that class. And Sarah Oliver. She was visiting office hours one day. And I said, what do you do when you're not studying T.S. Eliot, Sarah Oliver? And she said, I run public affairs at KDVS, the campus and community radio station. And I said, how interesting. I've always thought that I should host a radio show. And she said, we have a slot open Wednesday afternoons at 5. And I said, Sarah Oliver, I'll do it. It was a foolhardy gesture and offer. And I think I've become foolhardier in the 10 years since having that conversation. But since then, I've interviewed a variety of poets and authors, people whose names you've heard of, Sherman Alexie, the great Native American poet and novelist. UC Davis's own Gary Snyder has been on my show once or twice. Arguably one of America's greatest living poets. One of the last voices of the Beat Generation, though he wouldn't define himself as being part of the generation. He might remind you that he was in Japan for at least part of the 1950s, though he returned for that grand and important reading at the Six Gallery in San Francisco, when the story tells us Allen Ginsberg first performed Howl. A few years later, I played Howl on this very radio show. It was before we had the 8-second delay. So what I had to do is read along with the poem, and whenever Allen Ginsberg was about to swear, I would turn down the poem and remind people that you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Also in those early years, I prepared for this show endlessly. researching articles, finding topics that you might be interested in, holding forth very much the way that I'm doing right now. I don't think it made for very good radio, but I enjoyed it. Luckily, not too long after that, maybe it only took me a couple years, I realized that it's a lot more fun for you, the listener, to hear me chatting with someone instead of with myself. We were hearing some Yeats earlier, and Yeats said, out of arguments with others, we make rhetoric. Out of arguments with ourselves, we make poetry. So basically, I argued with myself in those early years of the program, going on and on and on about my grand poetical thoughts. Thank goodness for those early callers who put me out of their misery by calling with a question or a comment. I'm thinking especially of Looking Upwards, who used to call this show on a regular basis and share things. He was a big fan of Gertrude Stein. And then, of course, Harry from Roseville, who I haven't heard from, boy, I think in over a year now. Harry very kindly called me a couple days after my father passed away to share his condolences. My father, who, with my stepmother, appeared on this very radio show, I think I can name when that was. I think that was the summer of 2002. Summer of 2002 or 2003. I think it was 2002. My father came down here to the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDVS, and was interviewed by me. We talked about how he got into show business. He told the story of transitioning from Yellow Springs, Ohio, to New York City. The work that he did as an actor and then later as a director. Later still as the creative director of the Washington Theater Club in Washington, D.C. And then, for decades, as the movie and theater critic for WTOP and then later WUSA, Channel 9 in Washington, D.C. Davy Marlin Jones could be seen on television, maybe two or three nights a week, reviewing films, which means I got to see lots of films, including Star Wars. As a young child, I was brought into a critic's screening. The curtain parted, and I was filled with anticipation and excitement because neither I nor any of the critics, I think, knew what film was about to start. And then, those sans-serif letters, Star Wars, appeared on the screen. That was certainly magical. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to the 9th anniversary edition of your favorite poetry and technology program. I wanted to remind you that Maxwell Kessler will be reading tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night here in the city of Davis. Maxwell Kessler is a performance poet who was raised in the Idaho wilderness and who still draws strength and inspiration from the Rocky Mountains. He's performed in heavy metal rock bands. He's directed and acted in films. He performs his own poems as part of a poetry tour that's brought him to the West Coast all the way from Boston. He's a graduate of Emerson College. Last year, he was named Emersonian of the Year. It's impressive, isn't it? He was also awarded the title of Champion of Champions at the Boston Poetry Slam. He coordinates the Emerson Poetry Project, a weekly poetry reading, at Boston's Emerson College. And now he's coming to Davis tonight at 9 o'clock at Bistro 33. So if you're interested in live performance poetry or in the open mic, perhaps you'd like to participate. If you're interested in all that, it happens tonight at 9 o'clock at Bistro 33 in Davis, 226 F Street. If you want to get on the open mic list, you're advised to show up before 9 o'clock. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a public service announcement courtesy of KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
Welcome to another edition of Wash or No Wash. We are coming to you today from the men's bathroom of the Student Union. Our first contestant is Sammy. Sammy, say hello.
Hello.
Oh, the stall door is opening, and here comes a young man. Messy hair, jeans, flip-flops. Okay, Sammy, what's your guess? Is he a wash or no wash?
I'm going to go with no wash.
Okay, he's walking by the sink. Nope, he's stopping. He's approaching the sink, looking at himself, and he's walking away. No, he turns back, and there's the soap and water. Sammy, you guessed wrong. He's washing his hands.
Be a winner in the wash, no wash game. Don't get caught dirty-handed. Always wash your hands with soap and water after using the bathroom and before eating and drinking.
Brought to you by the Food Tech Club and Food Science Department here at UC Davis.
That is one cute public service announcement. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in recognition of my 9 years on the radio reading you poetry, I thought we'd go back to one of my early favorites, something by Keats called Ode to a Nightingale. This is a poem that I took it upon myself to memorize, for I was deeply embarrassed when, in 1988, I took a class called Poetry Now. No, British Poetry Now. And there was a poem by Tony Harrison that alluded to the first lines of Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. And somehow, even though I was so proud of the extreme, dorky, nerdy focus that I applied to my studies as an undergraduate at Boston University, where I took classes with Howard Zinn, despite that, I somehow didn't recognize this allusion to this famous poem. Mortified, embarrassed, and resolved to do better, as I began to walk back and forth between Boston and Cambridge, across the Boston University Bridge, through different neighborhoods on the other side of the Charles River, making my way all the way to the Harvard Bookshop to do some book shopping. Not that I could afford either the books or to carry them around in the ensuing decades, which is what I did. I've become a lot more zen since then. I traveled with handwritten stanzas of Keats's Ode to a Nightingale, which I used to memorize, saying these words over and over and over again, until finally stepping in to Robert Pinsky's The Lyric Poem class. Robert Pinsky, who, as you probably know, later went on to become one of the longest-serving poet laureates in the history of the United States, founder of the Favorite Poem Project, commentator on poetry for the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, later the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. I think they've retitled again since then. That Robert Pinsky, he said, well, let's take a look at Keats. Who would like to read this poem? And then one of my colleagues, somehow, for some reason in the classroom, said, why would you read it when Andy here has memorized it? And then Robert Pinsky said, is this true, Andy? And I said, well, yes. He said, great, stand up and share with us the poem. And I did. It's a long poem, as I'm about to share with you. And he said, oh, that was delightful. in part because of the way that you've reinterpreted certain lines by adding or removing words. Of course, Pinsky had it better memorized than I did. But it was still a moment of victory, a moment of gratification, where I was able to make up for, compensate for, my earlier defeat as someone who would catch allusions to texts poetical. And now, in recognition of my 9th anniversary as host of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, I shall now read for you, rather than try to recite, John Keats's great ode, written hurriedly in May of 1819, the poem, Ode to a Nightingale. Let's see if we can find some appropriate music to play in the background. Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past and the leathy wards had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees in some melodious plot of beechen green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance and provincial song and sunburned mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve, and quite forget what thou amongst the leaves have never known. The weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last gray hairs, where youth grows pale and specter-thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of poesy. Though the dull brain perplexes and retards, already with thee, tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered round by all her starry fays. But here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness, guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows, the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild, white hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast fading violets covered up with leaves, and mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose, full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunts of flies on summer eves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I've been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names and many a mused rhyme to take into the air my quiet breath. Now, more than ever, seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird, nor hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the selfsame song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn. The same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas and fairy lands, forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. Thy fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu, adieu, thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now 'tis buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to apologize in advance for the smooth jazz nature of the music that you hear behind me. I try to choose jazz that is not smooth, but sometimes it can't be helped. I had a nice conversation with a regular contributor to this radio program, and that's Elijah Jenkins. He's the driving force behind a Sacramento publishing and creative phenomenon called Flatman Crooked, which you can find out about at flatmancrooked.com. Elijah told me about an anthology of poetry that will be coming out this year, put out by Flatman Crooked, that will include a poem by one of my favorite living poets, Lee Young Lee. It was quite a get for Flatman Crooked and for Elijah to snag this Lee Young Lee poem. I'm glad now, on an afternoon when I've talked a little bit about my late father and his appearance on this radio show, I'm glad that I can share with you a Lee Young Lee poem called My Father in Heaven is Reading Aloud. A recording read and performed now by the poet himself, Lee Young Lee, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
My father in heaven is reading out loud to himself psalms or news. Now he ponders what he's read. No, he is listening for the sound of children in the yard. Was that laughing or crying? So much depends upon the answer, for either he will go on reading or he'll run to save a child's day from grief. As it is in heaven, so it was on earth. Because my father walked the earth with a grave, determined rhythm, my shoulders ached from his gaze. Because my father's shoulders ached from the pulling of oars, my life now moves with a powerful back and forth rhythm, nostalgia, speculation. Because he made me recite a book a month, I forget everything as soon as I read it. And knowledge never comes but while I mid-stride a flight of stairs or lost a moment on some avenue. A remarkable disappointment to him, I am like anyone who arrives late in the millennium and is unable to stay to the end of days. The world's beginnings are obscure to me, its outcomes inaccessible. I don't understand the source of starlight or starlight's destinations. And already another year slides out of balance. But I don't disparage scholars. My father was one, and I loved him, who packed his books once, and all of our belongings, and sat down to await instruction from his God, yes, but also from a radio. At the doorway I watched, and I suddenly knew he was one like me, who got my learning under a lintel. He was one of the powerless, to whom knowledge came while he sat among suitcases, boxes, old newspapers, string. He did not decide peace or war, home or exile, escape by land or escape by sea. He waited merely, As always, someone waits, far, near, here, hereafter, to find out, is it praise or lament hidden in the next moment?
This is Dr. Andy with an important message from the sponsor of this radio program, the Yolo Federal Credit Union. I'll be back with some closing remarks in just a moment. Make sure that you stick around. DJ Springy is in the house. He's got the whitest jacket I've ever seen, and he's ready to share some music with you on his radio show, Time to Get Away. But first, words about the Yolo Federal Credit Union.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
We're just about out of time on this particular radio program. I'd like to thank my guest, Shandell Beers, author of the new poetry book, A Brief History of Time, from Salt Publishing. You can find out more about her at shandellbeers.com. I'd also like to remind you that I'll be at Bistro 33 in Davis, 226 F Street, tonight to see Maxwell Kessler perform. He is the performance poet from Boston, who was awarded the title of Champion of Champions at the Boston Poetry Slam, as well as the title Emersonian of the Year at Emerson College. It's a big deal that he's coming to the city of Davis to share with us his performance poetry. That'll happen starting tonight at 9 o'clock at Bistro 33. Admission, of course, is free, and this event is open to the public. My name is Andy Jones. The kids today, they know me as Dr. Andy, and it's been my pleasure for the last hour and for the last 9 years, and for many years I hope to come, to be your host of this radio program called Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around, won't you, because DJ Springy is in the house, and he's got some springy music to share with you here on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.